9 o'clock, nothing was working, so we've at least made improvements. So we're thankful for you being here today and for this season. You know, we have so much to be thankful for, and God's done so much for us. And as we think about Christmas and we celebrate this time of year, it really ought to be a year, or a time rather, of joy, shouldn't it? And when you're joyful about something, what do? You share. You shout it. You want everybody to know it. Seth had that baby. He wasn't all quiet about it. He said, "She's here." And Rodney and Holly said, "Hey, you want to see some pictures of my grandbaby?" If there's anything that we ought to be able to get excited about, as wonderful as presents are and new babies are, there's nothing more joyful or that should fill us with more joy than the Christmas message that Jesus has come and He is with us. And that alone brings us not only peace and hope that we've talked about the last couple weeks, but it should bring joy to your heart and joy to your life. No matter what else is going on, there still can be joy. Because no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus is still with you. He's still Emmanuel. And so we still have that hope, and He's still that Prince of Peace. So today's that third Sunday of Advent. We'll celebrate the last Sunday of Advent next Sunday, and then Friday, Christmas Day, will be here. That day where we celebrate and remember the greatest gift that has ever been given, and that's something to shout about and be joyful of. But it also ought to bring us some joy that, listen, we remember that Jesus came that first time on Christmas Day, but it also should remind us He's coming again. He promised that He would be back. So our guiding symbol through this season's been the star. And just as the star of Bethlehem drew the wise men from the east and shepherds to the Savior thousands of years ago, that star, as we think about that symbol, helps guide us on a spiritual journey of hope and peace and joy and love. And all of that's found where? In Jesus. It's not found anywhere else. But people today, as we continue on this journey, today we're talking about joy. Can I tell you, when there's joy in your heart, it's a lot more fun to go on a journey, isn't it? When you're joyful about it. When you know that, you know, and joy is often misunderstood, though. We often think of it as happiness. But joy is not happiness alone. It's something that's much more than that, and that's what I want us to think about this morning. Have you ever noticed that just about every time an angel shows up in Scripture, what's the first thing that comes out of their mouth? Do not be afraid. The phrase is so common in the Bible, you might think it's heavenly language for hello. It's not. In the Christmas story, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds all heard that message. Do not be afraid. And what's the opposite of fear? Joy. Don't be afraid because Jesus has come, but that should bring us some joy. Those shepherds give us a particularly good picture of the experience. They were no cowardly men. They were a rugged lot. They lived outdoors most of the time. They hung around animals. They weren't the cultural shining mecca of town. In other words, they weren't the ones everybody wanted to be around and be like. That everybody wanted to be the opposite of the shepherds. And yet when the angel appeared in the sky, they went weak in their knees with fear. And so the angels gave that message, which they do most of the time when they show up. And so this morning I want to take a look at Luke chapter 2 again. We looked at that passage last week and talked about peace, but peace is in this passage, but joy is as well. And so take a look with me. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation this morning. It may be a little different than the translation that you have. But verse 9 says, "Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Do not be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.'" The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others in the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heavens, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.'" This is our starting point as we follow the star today on a journey of joy. As we do, I want us to see that joy, again, is not just happiness. It's so much more than that. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're just happy and jolly, but you can have joy and really be quite sad. I want you to look at some pictures this morning. These are children receiving shoe boxes. From Operation Christmas Child on behalf of Samaritan's Purse. That last picture, see if you can put it back up, Brother Bill. Man, look at the expression on this girl's face. That is joy, my friend. There are so many great and amazing organizations around the world that work hard to do such amazing work. And Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse, is one of those organizations that through the gifts of shoeboxes that many of you helped us put together this year to share the love of Christ and the message of Christmas with children that have not heard that message before. And I understand that in Pearl, Mississippi, it's hard for us to fathom that there is somebody that has not heard the Christmas story. But I want to suggest there are people even within our own community that maybe have a general sense of the Christmas story. But there are lots of people that truly do not know what the Christmas story really means. Because you can't know what it really means until you've experienced it firsthand. Now, I'm not saying we get into the DeLorean from Back to the Future and go back to that first Christmas Eve. We obviously can't do that. So how do we experience it? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to share with us a few things that I think will help us to experience the birth of Christ afresh and anew, just as it was that first Christmas morning 2,000 years ago. You notice that those exuberant smiles on the faces of those children? They say it all, don't they? They were joyful. But did you notice something else about those pictures? There wasn't one of them where they were alone. Joy will help us, and joy is best known through sharing it with others. And are we more joyful when we're around others most of the time? Now, there are people that make us break that rule, but as a general rule, it's best to share joy with other people. But I want us to think about those pictures were not of children in America, where no matter how bad you may have it, it's still pretty good and a lot better than other places in the world. Those children live in places where they live in absolute poverty, where they do not have clean running water oftentimes. They do not have a wardrobe to pick from, so they never have, what am I going to wear to church today? They maybe even never owned a pair of shoes, things that we take for granted. Places where there's war and turmoil in the area. And yet, how can all of that be going on? And it was in all of those pictures that you saw. How can there be joy expressed on their face? Because what I want us to see and understand this morning is that joy and pain often coexist. It's a strange thing about joy. It seems natural for us to think that joy could only come when pain is removed. But the truth is, in our fallen world, joy and pain exist side by side. In fact, there's really no way to separate them. Even here in America, in Pearl, Mississippi, our lives are a constant balance of joy and pain as we go through life, aren't they? In fact, often the pain or the struggle that magnifies the power of joy. It's when we're sad or that bad things have happened to us or we're going through a struggle that our joy means much more to us. Because joy does not come in circumstances. It doesn't come in wrapped boxes. It does not come in twinkling lights. It does not come in government. For teachers, it may come from Christmas vacation. I know it does for the children and the teacher, especially my teacher, it does. She looks forward to it. I suspect all teachers look forward to that Christmas break. But the thing about those lights and the presents and the vacations, they end. But our joy should not end. In fact, the more that we walk with Christ, our joy should increase. And increase and increase. And in fact, it should spill over. It should ooze out of us onto others. People should be more joyful because they met you. But here's the thing, as your joy oozes out, your supply of it doesn't deplete. Though you give it out, and in fact, when you give away joy, you find you've got more than what you started with. And that reminds us that joy does not come from anything from this world. But joy ultimately comes from God above. And you see, when your joy comes from God up above, who's president, what some loony governor has declared, or what laws Congress has made, or a mayor has made, or what wars might be going on around your world, there's still joy because God is still there. Just like there's peace and there's hope because God is there with you. But so often we want to be self-reliant, don't we? We say, I don't need anybody. I can find my own peace. I can find my own hope. I'll find my own joy. Thank you very much. And yet it doesn't work out that way. In fact, it never works out that way. While you might find joy or peace or hope for a short minute, it will be but fleeting. It won't last. But the Bible teaches us, and we know by our experience, don't we, that God is always with us. Even when it seems everything in our world has gone haywire. You remember Paul said that he said, though I'm pressed in, I'm not destroyed. Though there's all these things going on in my life, I'm not unsettled. Why did he say, well, how could he say that? Because the peace and the joy of God lived within Paul's life. And I pray it lives in your life as well. It should, as a child of God. If you claim to be a Christian and have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there ought to be an abiding joy that lives in your life. Now, there's some people that say, yeah, I've got the joy down in my heart, but we need to let our face know it because it doesn't have any idea. So we find in our lives, as the shepherds and Mary and Joseph heard those words of the angel, do not be afraid. So what's the angel saying? Be joyful. God has shown up and has a message for you. But rather than focus on that message of joy and peace and hope, what does this world cause us to do most of the time? Causes us to look at the darkness and the junk and the mess that's going on in our world. We fear circumstances, we fear the economy, we fear retirement, whatever. You know, we're full of fear. And yet the Bible says over and over again, not just the angels, Jesus himself said on numerous occasions, do not be afraid. And so what he's saying is, do not let the pain and the uncertainty of life that's there, and as long as we're walking this old fallen world, it will be there, but don't let that steal your joy. You make sure that the joy of the Lord lives and resides inside of you and is ever present in your life. That is good news of great joy, isn't it? We don't have to be afraid. In the book that bears his name, James takes this concept a step further when he says to consider the trials that we face as pure joy. Listen to his words in James 1, 2 and through 4. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James reminds us, hey, listen, there's a reality. We face trials with joy, not with fear. It sounds odd, it sounds contradictory, it sounds kind of impossible. But it isn't a suggestion that you just fake it until you make it. Slap a smile on it, pretend that it's okay. That's not what James is saying. James is saying, realize that no matter what mess you personally are going through in life, that God is there in the midst of it. And because God's there in the midst of it, you don't have to have fear. Rather, you can have joy. What? Have joy in the fact my boss is a jerk? Have joy in the fact that the bills are piling up and the bank account is shrinking. Take joy in the fact that my kids are nutso and aren't doing what I tell them to do, because that's what kids do. And by the way, that shouldn't surprise us when kids miss. That's what kids do. Now, I mean, we just accept it and say, well, isn't that cute little darling? No, we don't do that, but we shouldn't be surprised when they misbehave, because that's what they do. Rather, when God is in our midst, when trials come, we see those trials as an opportunity for us to grow and depend on the Lord more. To say, you know what, even in the midst of personal wars, struggles, in the midst of community struggles and national and world struggles, God is still God. And nothing's going to eat, and no one is going to unseat him. He is God alone. And it reminds us that even in the midst of our struggles and worry, that there really is something going on that we can't see. There's an unseen source of life flowing through us. What is it? It's God. If God is flowing through your life, regardless of whatever else is going on, and the pain that's there, God gives us joy. And that should nourish and refresh and cleanse us and renew us. But then secondly, I want us to see, and I already began touching on it this morning, that, listen, we need to understand joy and pain coexist. But we also need to, secondly, remember that walking in joy causes us to find others and our joy to spread. Remember again that those pictures of the joy that was on those children's faces, no one was alone. The same is true about the good news of Christ and of Christmas. It was not just good news for you. It was not just good news for Free Will Baptists. It was not just good news for Americans. What did the angel say? This is good news for all people. It's good news for everyone. Life-giving joy is, again, meant to bubble over and touch others. And when we're sharing the joy of God with others, guess what? We're aware of it more in our life too. And as we're more aware of it, it seems to get bigger, doesn't it? There seems to be more of it. We say, you know what? Because we realize just how blessed we are. And how good God is. The world and Satan will tell you that it's hopeless. Give up, give in, let fear rule your life. But God declares the opposite. Good news of great joy for all people. Joy is uncontained and uncontainable by decree. We've got some places, and this isn't just a political statement, at least I hope you'll see that it's not, that, you know, there are people that violently and completely disagree with the church and want to do everything they can to shut it down, and they will use anything, including a virus, to accomplish that. But the reality is this, that you can decree all you want to, the church of God cannot be stopped, and it cannot be silent. It can't be shut up. It can't be destroyed. Why? Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we must remember that it's not the church, though it is, in a sense, this building, but in a bigger sense, it's not this building. The church is you. Now, does that mean this building's not important? Absolutely not. This building is very important, and it is important. And in fact, God's people are commanded multiple times in Scripture to gather together. There's something powerful and something spiritual that happens that doesn't happen when we worship individually. And we can and we should, by the way, worship God and spend time with God alone by ourselves and as a family through the week. And that's important. But we also need, we desperately need, coming together as God's people. Does God do great things in the midst of just one? Absolutely he does. But he seems to more often than not do much greater things when God's people are together. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled program. Psalm 96, the psalmist says in verses 11 through 13, "Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. All the trees and woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth." The psalmist takes what James said even a little bit further. He says, listen, not only is the message of great joy for all people, but all of creation will rejoice, the psalmist says, when God comes. The trees will rejoice. The land will rejoice. The sea will rejoice. He is coming. And in fact, he came that Christmas morning. So many years ago. And he's coming again. And he's coming to judge the earth. But here's the thing. That shouldn't bring us gloom and doom, and it won't if you're a child of God and you're living for him. But what will it do? It will bring great joy. It's like when Rodney and Holly get a call that says, we're coming to your house. They are not excited that Seth and Allison are coming to their house. But they have great joy that Spencer Joy is coming to their house with Seth and Allison. And they look forward to that and they celebrate. I mean, it just puts a little pep in your step, doesn't it, Brother Rodney? When you know that baby is coming. It should bring great joy when we think that Jesus is coming again. Does it? I hope it does. Remember, fear and pain isolate us. They keep us away from others. Joy brings us together. The joy of Jesus' coming goes out to all the earth, connecting himself and us to one another. So when we gather, it may not just be us, and we may not get anything out of church. Man, that was a waste of an hour and a half on Sunday. I should have just stayed in bed. And it may have been that to you, but chances are because you gathered with somebody, maybe you encouraged somebody that needed, it wasn't the sermon that encouraged somebody that day, maybe it was you. Maybe it was just by your smile or your presence. Because joy is contagious. And we can't keep it to ourselves. But then lastly, I want us to see that as we walk in joy, and we connect with others and help others find joy and see that sharing joy with others helps us fill our joy tank as well. To see that walking in joy leads us to worship. Our response to joy, what we do when joy interrupts our everyday life and sets up camp alongside the pain of our life, what do we do with it? You know, sometimes it's easy to embrace joy. But But sometimes our struggles and our hurts are so overwhelming that we're trapped and we're bound by our fear. And joy can feel so far away and so distant, and yet maybe even to some impossible. But the Bible shows us that the response of joy is worship. What did those shepherds do that evening? They came and they found the baby just as the angel said they would. And what did they do? They worshiped God. I suggest that worship can also jumpstart joy as we fix our eyes on God and the greater reality rather than on our immediate problems or fears we're facing in the moment. We see God is there and God did save me, and you know, God's done so much in my life, and God's given me a family and a church family that loves me and I can count on, and that we're there for one another. And when we then, those trials and the craziness of life don't seem to be so insurmountable, do they? It's hard to be afraid and stressed when we're worshiping together, when we're singing "Shout to the Lord," when we're listening to a sermon, when we're in a Sunday school class together, when we're out caroling. And so maybe what it takes for us to find joy is worshiping. And not worshiping yourself, not worshiping stuff, but worshiping the Almighty. To realize that He is worthy and that we do need to come and adore Him. Not just on Christmas, but every day of the year we ought to adore the Lord. And we ought to heap praises on Him because He alone is worthy. The shepherds went. The wise men, Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 2, came. Now it was some months at least after they came, after the birth of Jesus, that they showed up. But this is what Matthew said happened when they showed up. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, chances are these magi or wise men were not God believers. They were not Hebrews. They were heathen. They were most likely scientists, maybe astrologers. But they recognized that something significant had happened, and they had great joy because of it. Says, and then they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now there are a lot of questions about these wise men. Many think it's just a made-up tale. I think that they were actually men from the east that came and worshiped Jesus. And the Bible doesn't say there were three. They brought three gifts. There most likely were more. We don't know how many. But they had recognized that something had happened. And they came and they found, they made it probably to Nazareth, because they were back home by the time they showed up. And they saw Jesus and Mary. And they worshiped. Now, was this worship biblical worship? Probably not. But they paid honor and respect and were awed at this baby, presented kingly gifts, What a strange night and season that must have been in Bethlehem and in Nazareth. Shepherds breaking into song, wise dressed sages kneeling and bowing and praying out loud. And all of them found joy. Not in world circumstances, not in politics, not in stuff. But all of them that we've talked about this morning found joy in Jesus. And that is exactly where you will find your joy. And a joy that surpasses understanding, a joy that never ends, and a joy that is overflowing comes only from God Himself and having a relationship with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? We can experience that same joy this Advent season as we journey toward the birth of Christ and celebrating the good news of His arrival and the salvation that He brings. Peter tells us that our salvation brings us joy. 1 Peter 1:8 and 9 says, "Whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now, you may be sitting here today, you say, "Well, that's a great sermon, preacher, but you know what? I don't have much joy. There's so much stuff going on in my life." Listen, I understand. Our world is fallen and broken. And the truth of the matter is, we're fallen and broken parts of this fallen and broken world. And yet, as we live on earth, we straddle this tension of our physical and spiritual realities that this world is not all there is. And though it may seem dark, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And so this season is about good news and good joy that leads to connection and worship. And sometimes that can be lonely and difficult. So what do we do when we find ourselves in that difficult, lonely place? Well, I think we need others. Especially when we're feeling the lack of joy, we need to be around joyful people. Because remember, what happens with joy? It oozes out of us and falls on other people. Now, if we're by ourselves and we're isolated, are we going to, can that joy touch us? Probably not. But when we come together with others, sometimes just the act of coming together as God's people can help restart our joy. And that's where we can find joy in the Lord. Maybe it's in reaching out to others. Maybe it's in helping others. Finding that, yeah, we may not have much, but we do have enough to be able to help someone that's in front of us. Maybe it's praying with someone that you know is going through a difficult time. Maybe it's making a casserole to share with someone. Also, I encourage you, take time to be purposely thankful. It's hard to be sad and mopey when you're thankful and you've thought about how blessed you are. There's an old song, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." And as we do that, what does it say? It says, "You'll be surprised to see what the Lord has done." Maybe you need to write a list. Carry it with you through the day. Maybe, you know, so as we share joy and as we're thankful, what happens? Our joy meter increases. We become more joyful. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think there's such thing. This world has not seen a person who is too joyful. But I have seen a lot of folks who need more joy in their life. And again, joy is not necessarily happiness. Joy is so much more and so much deeper and so much longer lasting than happiness. We must be sure that we don't allow circumstances to steal our joy. To remember that even in the darkest hours and the darkest times, we can worship God, not just for what He has done for us, but for who He is, because that alone makes Him worthy of our worship. And the thing is, His goodness and His mercy never run out. And so, friends, I hope that we see that, listen, yes, it is joy that we need in this world, but not joy that's fleeting, not temporary. We need joy that comes only from the person of Jesus Christ and having a relationship with Him and knowing He's the Lord of our life and knowing that He is with us. And that makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray together. God, thank You for this great good news, this joyful news that Your Son Jesus has indeed come, and we remember and celebrate coming again. Help us to experience joy in these days, and more importantly, help us to impact others with joy. Help us to give some of our joy away to others, that they might find Your joy as well. We're thankful that joy does not come in boxes. It comes in the person of Jesus Christ. And that joy is everlasting. And we thank You for that. Lord, help us to share the message of joy and hope and peace that Christmas brings with those we come into contact with. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know the joy that comes from knowing the Lord, God, would You touch their heart today and help them to receive the greatest gift that ever has been given to them, the gift of salvation. Lord, if there's one of Your children here today that they're saved, but that joy that we've talked about, Lord, it's waning. Maybe it's even on life support. Lord, would You help them to cry out to You as David did, restore to me the joy of Your salvation. Help us, we pray, give us an abiding, overflowing, external joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, and as we sing a hymn of invitation this morning, God spoke to your heart.